What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
The Night I Saw Myself by Jessica. My experience begins on Highway 101, near the coast of Northern California in Humboldt County. I was making the solo 730-mile trek from Southern California to my then home in Arcata. I had done this drive a few times, but this time was different. I had been driving for at least 9 hours. When at around 3 a.m., I crashed into the side of a rock face on a cliff. I was tired, so I assumed that I fell asleep while driving. I'm just so glad no one else was injured. As I emerged from my car, I was immediately met by 2 men who insisted on helping me. They somehow pushed my car out of the road and told me that they heard the impact from down the mountain. Although I probably shouldn't have, I accepted their offer to give me a ride to a nearby payphone. They dropped me off at a resort that seemed to be closed. The payphone worked, and I called a friend to pick me up. I then crossed the 2-lane highway to wait for them. As I looked back at the resort, I became terrified when I saw myself standing at the same payphone. I was wearing my exact clothes, doing the same thing I had just done 2 minutes ago. As I'm standing on the side of the highway, within seconds of seeing myself at the payphone, 3 human-like apparitions crossed the highway and approached me. They moved without stepping, as though they were gliding or floating. I ran and hid behind a statue. Fun fact, it was a Bigfoot statue. Once I finally emerged from behind the statue, they were nowhere to be seen. It's worth noting I was completely sober, but I understand being sleep-deprived and undergoing trauma can have powerful effects on the mind. I wonder if what I saw was a hallucination brought about by the accident, or if it was something paranormal. I believe I saw something beyond the veil. I also wonder about those guys who dropped me off in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night. I mean, they did show up right when I needed help the most. Maybe they were guardian angels of some sort, and they knew I would be okay. To my doppelganger, though, I hope we never meet again.
My Family's Experiences with Aliens in Scotland by Dan the Mantis. My grandfather, my dad, and I have all seen or experienced an alien encounter. I don't have any proof, and I know that's not great, but I just want to share my experience. I grew up in the Highlands of Scotland. My mom and grandparents lived there for most of my mom's upbringing. My grandpa is one of the few people in the world who, when he told you a story, it was true. There were no in-betweens or embellishments. He had so many stories and every one had proof, and he swore on it every time. Anyway, the area is pretty well known for alien sightings, such as UFOs, etc. My grandparents ran a shop next to the loch, lake for the non-Scots. The story was as follows. My mom was outside playing when she looked out over the loch. My grandma and grandpa were inside the shop doing their usual stuff when they heard my mom, who was only very little, shouting about something from outside. My grandpa went out to see what was happening and looked over the loch. What he described to me was three cone-shaped objects floating high in the air over the loch, just hovering there in the air. He immediately ran inside the shop, went into the back, and grabbed his camera. When he emerged, they were amazingly still there, and he took a photo of them. Now, this was the time when you still had to develop photos, so he quickly went into the nearby town to the pharmacists, who were the only people who could develop photos. When he received them back, the roll of photos that developed was perfect, every single one. Pictures of them at the beach, pictures of them at the house, and then just his normal pictures. Only one did not develop, his picture of the cone-shaped objects. I'm aware there are a ton of stories on here, and yes, I don't have any evidence, but he swore on everything that he was telling the truth. Sadly, he passed away last year before I could record him telling the story again. However, luckily, I did manage to get a collection of other stories, unrelated to aliens, though. Now, on to my dad's story. I originally grew up in a part of Glasgow. However, we decided, as a family, to move up to where my mom grew up to be closer to my grandpa and grandma, and it was also just a nicer place to grow up for my sister and me. We ended up moving onto the same road as my grandparents' old shop that my mom and aunt grew up in, only about 10 minutes away. Here's my dad's story. I'll summarize it quickly. He claims he was driving home one night along the country road towards our house, and there was a van in front of him. As he and the van were going down the single-track road, a blinding beam of light slammed down on the road, on top of his car, and the van in front of him. Immediately, my dad and the driver of the van stopped and got out, trying to look up at this light. My dad told me that he thought it was a helicopter, maybe, until he got out of the car and he realized he couldn't hear anything. No sound at all. The driver of the van was similarly confused, and neither of them could see past the blinding beam of light shining on them. Then, instantly, the light just went off. My dad and the van driver looked at each other and ran to their vehicles and got the hell out of there. Hearing both of these stories was pretty scary growing up. I've got to admit, I really didn't believe in aliens or that kind of thing, because while you hear these stories, there's just something off about them, you know? I mean, I've never seen anything, so how do I really know? My grandpa's story always stuck with me, though, because I knew for a fact he wouldn't lie to me. My dad's story, well, you never know. certainly very weird, but it's not what my grandpa experienced because he actually saw them. All my doubts went away last year, though. It's still the scariest thing I've ever experienced. Being a Scottish guy, I like to go to the pub with my friends and get drunk. Classic, I know. But my house is around a 30-minute walk into town, and to get there, I have to follow a long road past a golf course on both sides before I go up a hill with a twist in it, covered by trees on both sides. I always leave in the dark because we usually go out drinking at around 7:30 or 8 p.m. I left in the pouring rain, using my phone as a torch to see in front of me. Now, I've done this walk hundreds of times, so I knew exactly where I was going. When I reached the golf course, which was on either side of me, as I walked along the road, I felt very weird. I was almost scared, like I felt something watching me. And that's when I looked to my left. On the golf course, in front of the clubhouse next to the green, a massive collection of bright lights shone into my eyes. It was around 20 or so lights, not reflections. So there I was in the pouring rain, staring at this big clump of lights on the golf course, and I kind of froze. Then my eyes rose up next to them, and there was an outline, kind of like the size of a car or maybe something bigger. I'll admit I was utterly terrified. My phone then started ringing. Again, it was dark, so my only way to see at all was the flashlight on my phone, and I couldn't see if I didn't have it in front of me. But the rain and the wind were blowing, so if I answered the phone, I definitely wouldn't be able to see. It was my mom, and I realized I had to answer. I could maybe get help. I don't know, being really morbid here, but, you know, last words? I was really scared. So I answered, and I couldn't make out anything she was saying. I kept trying to talk to her, saying, "Hello? Hello?" while trying to keep quiet. As I was doing this, I was trying to shine my flashlight at the golf course, at least to see what was scaring me. If I was going to die, I wanted to see it first. Every time I shone my light on it, it was like a dark patch was on it. My light didn't show any of it, but I could still see its lights. I decided to just start marching forwards to get away from it, and I'll be damned going back home because if I survived it, I was going to need drinks with my friends. Finally, I shouted down in the phone to my mom, "What is it?" That's when the call ended. I turned to my left to see that the lights were now gone. It happened just as my phone call ended. Naturally, I called my mom back while running towards town. My mom answered and was confused. When I asked her why she had called me, she said she hadn't even touched her phone. She said she was watching TV the whole time. And that's when my stomach dropped. I checked my latest calls, and there was nothing there. But I swear on my life, she had just called me. I ended up making it to town safely and talking to my friends about it, to which one of them reminded me that I had to walk home. But fortunately for me, nothing happened on that walk. I was terrified for all of it, but nothing happened. But what really gets me after this experience is that phone call. It really did happen. My mom wouldn't answer me on the call and was speaking to me all garbled, like I had a bad signal. However, I had full bars. And suspiciously, it just ended. And suspiciously, as it ended, what I was seeing disappeared. And because of that call, I didn't get to see what I was looking at clearly. It's so weird to me. Obviously, you can see where my theory is. I think that whatever it was able to call my phone to distract me so that it could disappear. But why? It looked pretty large to me, and I was terrified. Surely it could have just killed me or abducted me or anything like that, but instead, it called me. And my mom adamantly refuses that she called me and showed me her call list on her phone as well. Nobody called me. So, that's mine and my family's experiences. I'm aware there's no evidence, and you don't know who I am, but I swear on everything this was 100% true. And my own experience is something I'll always remember. Let me know if you guys have any theories.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
I'll Pull You by Your Feet by Clarissa. My grandparents are from Mexico. They came to America in the late 70s for a better life. My mom and her younger brother were born in Texas soon after, but she had two older brothers who crossed the border with my grandparents. My grandfather was a hard-working man who lived to provide for his family. My grandmother worked just as hard. Eventually, they moved into a 3-bedroom house that they still own to this day. Their property had a small house in the back, where my grandfather's mother lived. She came to stay with them after her husband died, and my grandparents took care of her. Honestly, though, my great-grandmother was a really mean-spirited person. She hated children, and she especially hated girls. Being old-fashioned, I guess, she favored boys. Even though my grandmother took care of her for years, she constantly told my grandpa that she didn't like my grandma and didn't think she was good enough for her son. She hated that my grandma had a girl and never approved of their marriage. Years passed, and my mom ended up having 4 girls, including myself. When we were a bit older, my mom would force my sisters and me to go say hello to my great-grandmother when we visited. She would act somewhat nice, but when my mom left the room, she would pinch us hard enough to make us cry. My mom suspected something, but never confronted her because of her age. My great-grandmother passed away when I was about 5 years old. She was 92 and died peacefully in her sleep. As messed up as it sounds, my family was somewhat relieved. Months later, I went into the back house with my mom and grandma to clean and pack away her belongings. I remember it smelled like peppermint, and I hated that smell. My grandma said we could take anything we wanted. There were small figurines and little knickknacks, but I didn't take anything. Years later, my mom and I were talking about my great-grandmother. My mom told me that weeks after her passing, she had a dream, more like a nightmare. In the dream, my great-grandmother came to visit my grandparents' house and started banging on the screen door. My mom walked up to the door and saw my great-grandmother yelling at her to open the door and let her in. She looked furious, and my mom could feel the hatred coming from her. All she felt was fear. My mom told her, "No, I'm not going to let you in. You need to go." My great-grandmother started banging harder, yelling, "I told your dad I was going to take him with me. I need to get in. Now, let me in." My mom said, "No, you're dead. This isn't right. I can't let you in." Her grandmother yelled, "Look, I'm here. Open the door, now." My mom woke up, scared and confused, unable to stop thinking about the dream. She told my grandma about it later that day, and my grandma looked extremely frightened and disturbed. It was just a dream, so my mom wanted to know why she was so upset. My grandma went on to explain that my grandpa always mentioned that his mother promised she would take him with her when she died, pulling him by his feet. I've always wondered, if my mom had let her inside, would she have tried to take my grandpa with her? I'm honestly so glad she didn't open that door. Later on, my grandparents demolished the back house, since it had been vacant for so long and was falling apart. My grandparents are still happily married, and my grandpa is 71 now. He's the sweetest old man ever.
Whistling in the Woods by NebChili17. I live in central Ontario, Canada, and one summer 3 years ago, I took a job opportunity in a small town up north. The town itself was quaint and quiet, surrounded by woods, water, and cottages. I worked in town during the day, and by night, I would leave work to stay at one of the cottages owned by my boss and the business owner I worked for. The cottage I stayed in was shared by the owner and three other employees over the summer. It was surrounded by trees and forest, with other cottages spread sporadically around the area. The property had the cottage on one side, perched up on a rock face, with a large set of stairs leading down to the lower section of the property, which sat right along the local lake. On the lower section of the property, there was a boathouse, followed by a sauna and a small separated building close by. We worked long days, from morning till dusk, and would often use the sauna as a place to unwind and relax together. The sauna sat right in front of the lake, so it was great to get warm and toasty inside, then walk off into the lake to cool off before jumping back into the heat. One night after a long day of work, I arrived back at the cottage late, around 11 p.m. Feeling more stiff and achy than usual, I decided that night would be a good night for some time in the sauna. I asked the others that I stayed with if they wanted to join me, but there weren't any takers. They decided to have a few drinks that night instead. No problem for me. I still wanted to go, so I took a solo trip down instead. After grabbing my swim trunks and towel, I headed out and walked down the large flight of stairs past the boathouse until I arrived at the sauna. I turned the sauna on and took a seat to unwind in the heat. After about 10 minutes of heat and steam from soaking the rocks with water, I felt like it was time to cool off and reset myself. I opened the door to the sauna, the warm light from the lamp illuminating my way, and walked down toward the dark lake. As I approached the lake, I slowly walked into the water, as it was a bit cool that night. When I reached about knee level, I was abruptly alerted by a loud and drawn-out whistling sound. I stopped dead in my tracks, my body tingling with goosebumps, and I scanned the area for what it possibly could have been. There was nothing but trees, darkness, and the small amount of light illuminating from the sauna. My mind searched for logical answers. I assumed it was a local animal, or maybe one of my roommates playing a prank and trying to scare me as a joke. I brushed it off and whistled back my own tune. I really wasn't thinking about it at the time, but almost immediately after I stopped whistling, I heard the exact same tone whistled back to me from the tree line. It came right back in my direction, and I thought to myself, that couldn't possibly have been an animal. It perfectly copied my tone and cadence, so I chalked it up to being my roommates. I whistled again, this time in a very more sporadic and bizarre way to see if it would copy me again. I whistled into the darkness, and instantly I received the exact same tone whistled back. Not a single beat was missed. This time, it was closer than before. A spine-chilling cold drew over my body. Paralyzed in fear, I had no explanation for the sound, and my only reaction was to leave everything behind and make it back to the cottage as fast as possible. I booked it back up the stairs and into the cottage, only to see every one of my roommates sitting around the table, with no signs of having been outside. I tried to calm myself and ask them if anyone had been out there, or heard whistling. Everyone said, "No, we've been sitting here the whole time." A silence then fell over the room. To this day, it was the most bone-chilling and unexplainable experience I've ever had. Now, I didn't know you were not supposed to whistle back before this occurrence, but after doing research and looking for answers, I now know not to do so, and I also understand why. It gives me chills to this day.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
There's Something About My Dreams by Deirdre. Longtime listener, first time submission. I'm a 39-year-old woman. I don't have many odd experiences as far as the supernatural is concerned, but I have always been able to lucid dream, wake and return to dreams when I want to. And I've had some premonitions and deja vu dreams. Also, one that I haven't heard of before. I can ask myself, what if something were to occur? What would then happen? Asking myself this before bed, answers are then given to me in my dreams. I'll start with the most recent. Last night I was having a lucid dream where my husband, two teenagers, and I were in the car. I was upset because I wasn't able to get ready as quickly as I wanted. My husband had put what I wanted to wear in the wash, and my daughter was occupying the bathroom. I was already stressed and a little upset in the car. I looked down at my hands for some reason, and realized that my nails weren't done. This is significant, because I just recently started getting gel nails at the salon. It stands out because my daughter is always talking about how she wants hers done, and is always grabbing my hands and sighing dramatically. So when I looked down and had natural, bare nails, I said out loud in my dream, "Oh, good, I'm dreaming. I can wake up now and stop being stressed." I heard that when you say, "I'm dreaming," during a lucid dream, the people around you will act strangely. I've realized when I'm dreaming before, but I think this has been the first time I have ever said it out loud. In my dream, my husband and two kids started trying to convince me that I wasn't dreaming, asking why I thought I was, suggesting maybe I just trimmed my nails and forgot, and saying that not having a manicure was a silly reason to think I was dreaming. This went on and on, and I was getting progressively more stressed. They nearly convinced me that I wasn't dreaming. I didn't actually wake up until I physically rolled in my sleep. When I awoke, I looked at my hands and said, "I told you," and I decided to not re-enter that dream. My most recent premonition dream was a few days ago. I had a dream that my friend's husband and daughter, who is also my daughter's friend, came over to the house. They had a new baby boy with them. He was so cute, with a head of brown hair. My friend, the mother, wasn't there, because they brought him by to let her sleep and get some rest. When I woke up and texted her, she freaked out, asking if she, her daughter, or her husband had accidentally shared that they were doing their first embryo transplant the next day. They were keeping it a secret. I said no, I had no idea. But it was very promising. I'll update you if this comes true. Lastly, my what ifs. I've done this on and off, but the one that stands out most is from almost 20 years ago. Before meeting my husband, between the ages of 18 and 19, I was in a relationship and engaged to an emotionally, physically, and financially abusive man. A year after our final breakup, before I went to bed one night, I posed the question to myself, what if we had stayed together and gotten married? I then had a very lucid dream. We lived in the same house we lived in while engaged, and we had one teenage daughter who was maybe 16. She was beautiful, tall like him, with his strong dark features. The two of them were very close, and she was a spoiled only child. I even found out her name, Iris May. Though it looked good, I quickly realized that she picked up not only his dark features, but his disdain and dislike for me. I was the outsider in that household, and they would talk down to me and treat me like I was stupid, laugh and say emotionally abusive things without a second thought. It was their house, and I was just a bystander who was forced to stay and watch, but never be included or loved. It was an incredibly lonely life, and I felt immense relief after that dream and never looked back or questioned my choice to leave. So, those are my lucid dream submissions. Can anyone else use their dreams like a magic eight ball?
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Okay, after some, I guess, a bit of a dry spell involving listener feedback, we got a plethora of stuff, but I only grabbed a few things for us to talk about here, and we'll try and make it quick. But Guile Swift said, referencing episode 216, I love you guys. I'm trying to catch up from not listening for a minute. I'm on 216 Radio Chatter. Sometimes I wonder why you guys don't just do a separate podcast and talk about whatever. Don't worry about the naysayers. Some of us like to know you are actually human.
That's fair. That's fair. I do like the idea of that. If only we had the time and energy to actually commit to something, maybe like a one-off special episode like we've done before.
Yeah.
I think the people have spoken. We should probably do a little bit of a special episode. Maybe we can cover something more investigative.
Mm-hmm.
Or just talk about video games and music, you know?
Yeah, we should do that. Doing an entire podcast on the surface, it's like, oh, it's a great idea. And we've actually brought it up millions of times. Like, yeah, it's a great idea. We could just do another podcast. And then you start thinking about all of the work that goes into doing a podcast. And it's more than just talking into a microphone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's so much work and such a huge commitment involving editing and coordinating, scheduling, artwork, music. Like, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, it really is. I think for both of us, it's just we don't want to start something and have it be like half-assed or not be able to see it to completion. At least with this, we knew we had a solid framework where we could keep it up. But I would hate for us to start something only to have it go from weekly to twice a week to only sporadically posting. And if we're going to do something, we're going to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Never say never.
Yeah. Yeah. Jessica Wilkerson says, laughing because there was an issue of Disney's Adventures that traumatized me as a kid too. I believe it was a Halloween issue and it featured a little blurb about a handful of cryptids complete with illustrations. The Dover Demon one stuck with me. I like that you brought this up because I was just thinking about my Disney's Adventures radio story that scared me that we talked about on a previous episode. And I got out all of my Disney Adventures magazines. I have quite a few of them and I've been reading through them, searching for some of those scary stories, but I haven't found any just yet.
Keep on looking. Maybe you'll find it. Do some fan fiction or something.
Yeah. Owsley Joe says, referencing episode 202, I'm glad that you said at the end that the anal cramps are common because I'm one of the ones, like you said, I'm the only one and I think I'm dying. So thank you for letting me know that I'm not the only one. Yeah, it's funny how I would say before the internet became so common and it was just a thing that you got on your computer every once in a while to look at eBay. We weren't looking up medical questions and things on the internet back in the day. And when something would go wrong, if it were an embarrassing thing, like something like anal cramps, you wouldn't tell anybody. And a lot of times some people are too scared to even tell their doctor because they're just too embarrassed. And you would just live with this secret, thinking that you had something terribly wrong with you when it was such a common thing.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it works its way down to the gooch and out of the urethra. Ouch, 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 ouch.
Yeah, I don't know how it is for women, but for us guys, like it goes through the whole works. All the tubes mm-hmm. and pipes and chambers.
Yep, yep. Up your butt, around the corner, through your tubes, out the boobs.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Those weird cramps. I hate it. Yeah, but you're not the only one. Joey, referencing episode 215, said, my sister has a similar story to the gemstone one, right? Referring to the person who had the gemstone falling on their lap while they were driving, the one that they had been looking for. And she said that she was home alone one day washing the dishes and a crumpled up piece of paper fell on her head. She opened it to see nothing written on it, but it definitely scared her for a little while. Yeah, things falling out of the air seems to be a common theme lately, like the jug of water or liquid that fell in the middle of the room, in that person's bedroom, just out of nowhere. The gem falling on the lap and then the crumpled up paper falling on the head. I wonder where these things are coming from.
Portals, they exist on a singular plane and that's why they just fall down, I guess.
Man, we got to finish Portal 2.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Allison Isaac, 93, says, referencing episode 197, the story about the quote-unquote classic UFO. How funny would it be if aliens have the same process as us, where they have classic UFOs, like we now have classic cars or collectible UFOs? I think it's funny. And I think it's funny, too.
That is quite the LOL, yeah. Like they have a 1950s retrofuturism, but for them, it's just like, look where we started. It's their version of the Model T.
Yeah.
A regular cigar-shaped saucer. That's their Model T right there.
Yeah, I wonder if it was a manual transmission.
Probably. It better be. Or maybe not. Maybe aliens see manual is like so antiquated, whereas humans are like, yeah, that's the real way to drive. But aliens are just like, why bother? It's just a waste of effort.
Yeah.
Which a lot of humans, let's be fair, especially in America, that's our mindset.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of, I'm trading in the WRX.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah, it was fun while it lasted.
It was fun, and it was like the last ditch effort to reach for, you know, the Mustang days, the youthful days. And it's just gotten to the point where I don't enjoy driving it anymore because I can't drive it as fast as I'd like.
Really? The WRX?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm driving in the suburbs and in the city. There's nowhere for me to really take it out and let loose unless I'm on the highway. But ticketing in California has gotten crazy, at least in my area. They're going to ticket you for going 10 over now.
Whoa.
So, and I don't like speeding when it's unsafe, you know, around people, around other cars. So it's kind of pointless. And I'm going to trade it in for the Crosstrek. So we're going to have two Crosstreks.
Wow. Two Crosstreks. I like that. Same color?
Same color, same year. It's actually, I'm getting the same year, the 23, because it has a CD player still and it has knobs and dials instead of all being digital, which I absolutely hate.
Yeah, preach. I love my Crosstrek Sport, but that screen is just too much. I just want more simplicity with turning on my heater each morning, not a delay with a touch screen. Other than that, great car.
Yeah, definitely. Finally, we have one from John Fron that says, "Hello, I love your shows. Keep up the great work. I don't have any crazy experiences to tell. Just the bathroom light won't work in the daytime." I thought that was cute and I wanted to share it.
Write that in. That's something we got to dive into. No electricians.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to have a look at your bathroom, John.
Would you look at that?
Would you look at that? All right. Let's get into a story.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's jump right in. I figure Jessica's story, the yep. night that she saw herself, mm-hmm. among other things, there's just a lot going on here. We got those two men who appeared out of nowhere
yeah.
immediately after she crashed into the side of the cliff.
That was weird. They were just there. Yeah.
Just there. And to make matters even more strange, after she finally got to that rest area or resort or whatever, seeing her doppelganger, her own self, using the payphone, wearing the same clothes, creepy. But then the apparition of those three human-like things gliding across the road and disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess for the sake of skepticism, we could assume those two men who helped her out were just at the right place at the right time. Nothing paranormal. They weren't guardian angels. But like she said, being sleep-deprived and experiencing something traumatic that could maybe influence, I guess, some sort of hallucination with the other two things, with the doppelganger and the things gliding across the road.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, 9+ hours of driving, you know, sleep deprivation can definitely blur reality in ways that feel real in the moment. I've been there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And even with like sleep deprivation, correct me if I'm wrong, I know somebody will, but you're looking at least 36 hours, maybe 48. To actually think you saw something that wasn't really there.
Good point.
Not just a, ooh, my periphery, that's crazy, but to be convinced that you saw something,
yeah,
you got to be awake for a lot longer than 9 hours or just be really tired. Your brain's really got to be deprived of sleep to see that. So I'm kind of leaning not towards that.
Yeah. I kind of see what you're saying. She did say 9+ hours of driving. She may have been up for a long time before that. Who knows how many hours? But even at 24 mm-hmm. hours, you and I have made it to 24 hours plenty of times in the past. We don't start hallucinating. You just start getting edgy and tired, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe just like the long driving and then that accompanied by, you know, the trauma of an accident.
Right.
Could knock something loose, you know? It's stress response versus something supernatural. It's a toss-up here. This one, I'm actually more inclined to believe the supernatural just because, like you said, not that long that they had been awake, according to, you know, just 9+ hours of driving. And, you know, you'd probably have to be in a pretty bad accident for you to start hallucinating things like gliding figures and, you know, a doppelganger. That's pretty intense.
Yeah. I do like the little bit of irony hiding behind a Bigfoot statue when all yeah. that played out too.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I looked it up on the maps and I found a Bigfoot statue like in a rest area over there on Highway 101. It's in...
Is it in Arcata?
Yeah, no, it's in Garberville.
Okay.
You can look it up. It's 2500 Blue Star Memorial Highway in Garberville, California.
Cool.
I don't see a payphone there, but I mean, I'm assuming this happened a long time ago mm-hmm. for there to be a payphone, but it kind of checks out like with the terrain and all that. I was really diving into this.
Yeah.
And if the people heard the crash from down the mountain, they would have been south of Garberville and dropped her off there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably a misanalysis of some sort, but I did a little bit of digging and seems to check out.
Yeah, it's funny because I that you did digging on that. I did digging on my Aliens in Scotland story because I don't think we had any submissions from Scotland yet, at least not any involving UFOs. So I thought, That's weird. I should look up to see, is this a common thing in Scotland? Apparently, it's a huge UFO spot. There's been like over 6,000 reported sightings since 1982 of UFOs in that area that they're talking about in the story.
There is a lot. And I do know we've had at least one because I mispronounced Edinburgh as Edinburgh. So got my own trauma there to work through. Never again.
I'm sure they let you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Scotland's pretty crazy, though. I mean, I think there's a reason all the paranormal stuff comes up. All these like nonstop wars throughout history, public executions, towns basically being built on top of ruins and burial sites. It makes sense why you would have paranormal things and UFOs on top of that. Why not? Why not add UFOs to the mix?
Yeah, it's similar to us in Native American burial grounds. It's become such a cliche to say that, but it's very true. It's very true that there are hauntings and paranormal activity and things happening like that in the U.S. Anywhere, I think that there's been mass trauma like that that's been disrespected, covered up, and treated poorly, you're going to have some type of activity there.
Yep, you're right on the money.
Yeah, and I really did like this story because Dan's dad's story is nearly identical to mine. They were driving on a, you know, lonely highway. The person in front of them stopped when they pulled over with them when they saw the bright light, and then the bright light just disappeared into the sky. Everything exactly like mine. They said it was completely silent. It was like beat for beat my exact story, to the point where I was like, did this person listen to the podcast and completely rip off my personal UFO story? It was almost identical. So I found that to be really interesting. And, you know, this is the same stretch of road here in town that I'm talking about where my dad saw an identical UFO recently while he was driving. So yeah, this silent bright light that appears and then disappears out of nowhere in the sky. I don't know what it is. I've got to come up with a name for it, but it's a very specific kind of UFO.
It really is. Maybe if they did rip you off, they just added a Scottish twist. I do have to add, just fun fact, season 1, episode 2 of Inspector Gadget covers Loch Ness Monster, so that's interesting.
Have you been watching it?
Yeah, I only got to episode 2, but yeah, it was in there, so it's kind of a fun thing to see Scotland come up.
Interesting, like the 90s cartoon?
I think it came out in like 82-ish or something, 84, pretty early. I always thought it was 90s because it was on TV still, but...
Yeah, I felt the same way about DuckTales. I thought it was a 90s show, came out in the 80s. We ended up watching either later episodes of it or reruns of it.
Yeah.
A lot of shows like that I found out are 80s cartoons. Kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess lastly, to tie things up here by your feet, we have, I tried. I'll Pull You by Your Feet by Clarissa. First of all, I just got to say, pinching children like that, her great-grandma, that's just... evil, and doing it like not like there's any valid reason to pinch a child, but out of pure malice, and especially her own grandchildren. Rest in peace, abuela. No, thank you. Like, sorry, I'm not a fan of your great grandma. It doesn't sound like you are or were either, so I feel okay saying that. But I'm not surprised that she showed up in a dream demanding to take her son with her. She just seems really weird and possessive about her son and hated all the women for some reason. Man, really creepy.
Yeah, I feel like this could be the story to a novel. I would love to learn more about the grandma and the relationship. It seems pretty dark.
Yeah, I don't know how to say pinch in Spanish, but I'm sure there's like a funny pun to make there. But the grandma could be an entity of her own, like a grandma who just pinches children, pinches little girls and chases them around. And
there's something really scary about that.
Yeah, that's so frightening. So frightening. No, thank you.
Why are old grandma ghosts scary? Why is that such a scary thing?
Because we associate grandmas as being these kind, sweet, soft, nurturing, motherly figures. And then when they're not, it just flips our whole reality upside down.
Yeah, good point. Good point. But thanks everybody so much for listening. If you have stories to send in, make sure you send them into stories@oddtrails.com and join our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate. Check out my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast, wherever you get your podcasts. See you next week. Stay safe.
Peace out. We'll be right back.
ghosts and the ghouls disturb you, darling.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.